My Powerful CEO Husband. Chapter 91. You're the One Who Tore the Dress. Xaviera Evans raised an eyebrow. I think you're right. Vita Coriel's heart skipped a beat. She didn't know what game Xaviera was playing. Naomi Whitman paused, thinking Xaviera must be crazy. Call the police? Are you out of your mind? Do you know how long you'd be imprisoned for destroying someone else's property worth $800 million? Vita showed kindness by sparing you, and now you're begging for your own demise? Fine, you want to call the cops? I'll indulge you. Naomi. Vita instinctively tried to stop her. No, they couldn't call the police. She forcefully put the knife in Xaviera's hand. If they called the cops and the truth was revealed, she would be done for. Once she had spoken, Vita realized she sounded too excited, which may raise suspicion. She tried to calm down and gently said, Xaviera, we're saying this for your own good. If you call the police, you will bear this guilt for the rest of your life. Don't let a moment's impulse ruin your whole life. No worries. My life isn't worth much compared to your $800 million dress. Xaviera was nonchalant. I think it might be better to call the cops. After all, I intentionally ruined your $800 million dress. I will feel guilty if I don't report it to the police. Vita grinded her teeth. No need, really no need. Xaviera suddenly chuckled, Miss Coriel seems to be preventing me from calling the police, why? Reporting to the police should be advantageous for you, shouldn't it? The criminal who damaged your dress would be punished. But, why wouldn't you? Surely our relationship isn't so good that you'd rather give up your $800 million dress to save me possible jail time. Or, are you afraid the police might discover something? Vita's face froze for a moment. The crowd started to wonder. Why not call the police? Initially, they thought Vita was a kind-hearted person who wanted to spare Xaviera. But now Vita was still trying to prevent it even when Xaviera herself agreed. Naomi didn't like where this was going with Xaviera, so she retorted. Vita, what are you afraid of? This bitch is digging her own grave. She wants to call the police, righ-ht? Let's do it and let her go to jail. Vita felt her teeth chattering. No, not necessary. If Miss Coriel doesn't want to call the police, then I will do it myself. Xaviera took out her phone and casually pressed a few buttons. Hello, is this the Pollock E station? I have destroyed an $800 million dress belonging to the Coriel family. Please come. No, you can't. Vita's reaction was faster than her thoughts. She lunged forward to snatch Xaviera's phone out of her hand, only to realize that the phone was locked. Xaviera hadn't actually dialed the police. Sweat broke out on Vita. She realized she had overreacted and potentially aroused suspicion. Sure enough, the people around her were giving her strange looks, some were even whispering to each other. Why is Miss Coriel so reluctant to call the police? That's odd. She is clearly the victim here. What is she afraid of? Moreover, the dress ruined was fleeting time, which Miss Coriel cherishes most. With the dress ruined, one would think she's the one most eager to punish the culprit. Have you all noticed? It seems like Miss Coryell isn't unwilling to call the policy, but rather, she seems terrified. Every time Zaviera mentions calling the police, she trembles as if she's afraid of something. No, not at all. Vita mumbled, refuting the crowd's chatter. Let me guess why Miss Coryell is too scared to call the police. Zaviera tilted her head, a faint smile playing on her lips as she watched Vita's nervous expression. Because, it was you, Miss Coryell, who slashed the dress. The banquet hall fell into silence, so quiet that a pin drop could be heard. Were their ears deceiving them? Did Zaviera just say, the dress was slashed by Miss Coryell? Impossible. Naomi was the first to rebut, impossible. Zaviera, are you crazy? The Coryells poured a fortune into fleeting time just to frame you by destroying it. Do you really believe you're worth it? Anyone with a brain would know, between a bumpkin from the countryside like Miss Evans and an elitist like Miss Coryell, Vita has 100 ways to bring you down if she wanted to. She wouldn't have to destroy their high, price-tagged dress to frame you. Zaviera, if you want to shift the blame to Vita, you need a better excuse. Oh, wait. You probably can't think of a reasonable excuse with your brain capacity, haha. Naomi had a wild laugh. Furthermore, as a country bumpkin, you probably do auntie know that the MIFO hotel has surveillance cameras everywhere. Just ask someone to check and they'll find out it was you who tried to frame Vita. Just wait, I will get someone to check the surveillance footage now. Chapter 92. What's a dress anyway? Seeing Naomi Whitman go look for the hotel manager, Vita Coryell was biting her teeth in fury. This damn fool. Never mind, I don't want to pursue the matter of the ruined dress anymore. As soon as Vita Coryell's words came out, the manager who heard it quickly rushed over. Miss Coryell, rest assured, I have already ordered my staff to investigate the surveillance. We will surely get justice for you. Cold sweat was running down Vita Coryell's face uncontrollably. What should she do? She had to come up with a plan. At this moment, Mrs. Coryell suddenly spoke gently, "All right, then we will have to trouble the manager. We didn't expect such a thing to happen at today's B&K. We have caused you trouble." She patted Vita's back of the hand. "Vita, don't worry about Zaviera Evans, eat her. You didn't want to release the surveillance footage all for Zaviera Evans' sake, but sadly she doesn't appreciate it. Let it go." Vita looked at her mother's comforting gaze and suddenly calmed down. Yes, Tihei had removed the surveillance when doing these things, so there wouldn't be any footage. She didn't need to worry about the manager checking the surveillance videos. Thinking of this, she took a deep breath to adjust her expression and showed a reluctant smile. "All right, I'll listen to my mother. I was just anxious because I wanted to protect Zaviera Evans. If she wants to check the surveillance, then let her do it." The manager received a message from his staff quite quickly. He first glanced at Zaviera Evans's direction. After a quick exchange of gazes, he apologized to Mrs. Coryell and Vita. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Coryell, Miss Coryell. The cameras in our hotel went down unexpectedly, so there is no footage of the incident. The camera was destroyed." "Ha ha ha," Vita almost burst out laughing. She really wanted to see what Zaviera Evans would do next. Even if she had put the dagger in her hand, so what? Did she have evidence? If not, she would have to be wrongly accused. She managed to restrain the corner of her mouth, which was nearly curling upward, and spoke with a touch of resignation, "Xaviera Evans, you see, the surveillance camera was destroyed by someone a long time ago. It's fine, it's actually quite nice that it was destroyed. I have no intention of blaming you, let's let this incident pass, okay?" Mrs. Coryell also sighed, "Xaviera Evans, you destroyed the camera and ruined the fleeting time, all of this makes us think you had premeditated this. You are so shameless to say you want to call the police and insisted on checking the surveillance, thinking that it would prove your innocence. It's okay, whether you did it or not, both Vita and I have decided to forgive you." Mrs. Coryell couldn't help but wipe her tears, although fleeting time was obtained by the Coryell family with considerable financial and human resources, it's fine. Compared with your future, what is a dress worth? People around were whispering. So, it is confirmed now, right? First, she destroyed the surveillance, then destroyed fleeting time, and finally talked about calling the police to prove her innocence. This woman is really calculating. Thinking of how she just said that the person who ripped the dress was Vita, haha, how funny, she is trying to pin her own actions on others, does she think we are fools? Steve Price was anxious on the side, what should we do, what should we do? The current situation is very unfavorable for MRS. Caleb Mamet took a leisurely look at him. Do you know what it means when Tihi eunuchs worry more than the emperor? That's exactly what you are doing now. Steve Price, dot. I'm worrying for you, and you're mocking me? Caleb Mamet, holding his wine glass, said leisurely, use your brain. Observe Tihi's situation more. The hotel manager has to look at Xaviera Evans before he talks or acts, why do you think that is? Steve Price was surprised, so, Mr. Caleb Mamet, you're suggesting that the hotel manager is Mrs. S. Mann? The hand that Caleb Mamet was holding the wine glass with froze for a moment. He gave Steve Price a cold look. What does he mean by the hotel manager is MRS's man? Other than him, who would be worthy of being Xaviera Evans's man? Steve Price laughed awkwardly, knowing that his description made the jealous man feel uncomfortable. He quickly explained, so, Mr. Caleb Mamet, you're suggesting that the hotel manager is working for Mrs. Only then did Caleb Mamet put the wine glass back to his mouth and gave a subtle nod. Indeed, this hotel is clearly the Coryell family's property, yet the manager has to look at Xaviera Evans' face to act. It seems that there are many secrets about our Mrs. Mamet. There's a spy in their own hotel. The Coryell family was bound to lose this. Chapter 93. There are hidden cameras in our hotel, oh, he had to admit, he had underestimated that woman. Caleb Mamet tapped his finger on the table, listening to the conversation. Naomi Whitman laughed arrogantly, ha ha ha, Xaviera Evans, you still don't admit that you destroyed fleeting time, do you? Stubborn like a dead duck? How could there be such a foolish person like you, using such st**pid means to frame others? If you kneel down and beg for mercy now, maybe Tihi Coryell family will let you go. The manager tried to interject, Vita Coryell sighed, Xaviera, actually, if you hadn't insisted on calling the police at the beginning and left obediently, not many people would have known about this. Now that it has escalated, what will you do in the future? The hotel manager tried to interject again, Miss Coryell, please let me say something. Vita Coryell held Mrs. Coryell's hand, never mind. I'm giving you another break, Zaviera, now leave the hotel immediately. Mom, let us go back to the banquet. Miss Coryell, can you please let me say something? The hotel manager couldn't help but shout. Everyone looked over. The manager straightened his cloth ears and showed a standard customer service smile. Miss Coryell, you're too agitated, and I didn't finish speaking. I mean, although the hotel's 6 Cybel cameras were destroyed, we have a few hidden cameras to prevent any accidents. Coincidentally, 2 of those hidden cameras were aimed at the location of fleeting time. While Miss Coryell, you were extremely agitated, I had already ordered my subordinates to copy the surveillance footage, and I'll have it played in a moment. An inconspicuous smile flashed across Zaviera's face. Vita Coryell's face turned white instantly, as if she had been struck by lightning and was unable to move. The manager took the USB flash drive from his subordinate, opened a file on the computer, and soon the surveillance footage appeared on the screen. The manager took a step back, please, Miss Coryell. And others, take a close look. At this point, the audience, who did not know the truth, thought Zaviera was D14. Once the surveillance footage was out, she would spend the rest of her life in jail. On the computer screen, the scene gradually appeared. Vita Coryell's brain snapped like a string, and she subconsciously looked at Zaviera, knowing why she always felt that Zaviera was playing tricks, plotting with that bitch to deceive and entrap her. No, it can't be possible, the surveillance footage can't be shown. If everyone sees her actions, she'll be ruined. Her face changed drastically, and she charged forward, only to find she was too late. Some onlookers rubbed their hands in excitement. Zaviera probably didn't realize that such a large hotel would have hidden cameras, and she was destroying the surveillance, right? She's finished. Hurry up and let us see how she destroyed fleeting time. I bet her face must have been ugly at that time. Wait, hold on. Who took out the knife just now? Ah. Vita Coryell rushed forward like a madwoman, pushed the manager away, and used her body to block the computer screen, shouting hysterically, "Don't look! None of you can look!" The surveillance footage showed Vita Coryell taking a dagger from her bag, slashing her skirt with it, and then forcefully stuffing the dagger into Zaviera's hand. From beginning to end, Zaviera, the so-called mastermind, had not touched fleeting time. And that dagger was not brought in with painstaking effort by Zaviera, as they thought. Everything was Vita Coryell's setup and framing. The banquet hall was eerily quiet, with everyone staring blankly at the frantic Vita Coryell, unsure of what to do. Bravo! Zaviera couldn't help but clap. What a wonderful play, Miss Coryell. When you first heard about the destroyed surveillance, you must have been thrilled, right? But Miss Coryell, when you investigated the hotel, did you forget about the hidden cameras? Or were you just too excited thinking about framing me and bringing me disgrace? The manager added, after we found out the hotel's surveillance was destroyed, we immediately investigated, and the person who destroyed the surveillance was indeed Miss Coriel. I didn't expose her right away because I thought she destroyed THE Hotel's surveillance to ensure the privacy of fleeting time. I didn't expect it to be about framing someone else. Such means are truly despicable. The surveillance footage kept looping the scene of Vita Coriel stuffing the dagger into Xaviera's hand. People had thought Vita Coriel was beautiful, gentle, and generous, but looking at her in the surveillance footage, her expression was hideous, her eyes full of malice. It was enough to give anyone nightmares after one glance. Chapter 94, Why Does She Resist? This woman is framing others for her own mistakes and pretending to be Magnanny Mouse by saying she'll forgive Xaviera Evans. How can there be such a hypocritical and vicious woman in this world? The guests couldn't stand it anymore. The Coriel family is obviously just picky NG on Xaviera Evans because she has no background and is isolated, right? Thankfully, the MIFO hotel has hidden cameras, otherwise, she would have been taken away by police and served many years in prison. How many years in prison? $800 million for a dress. That's enough not to wear out the jail's floor. Everyone felt a chill down their spines. Vita Coriel seemed so kind on the surface, but in secret she was doing her best to destroy people. Listening to the ridicule of the crowd, Vita's face turned pale and green. She wished she could tear Xaviera Evans apart. She yelled at the manager, "You're clearly a member of the Coriel family, and this is a hotel under the Coriel's name, so why are you siding with Xaviera Evans?" The manager kept smiling and stepped back to explain, "I'm sorry, Miss Coriel, but I believe in being conscientious. I can't frame innocent people just to prod ECT my own job." People around had already started laughing. Weren't the manager's words implying that Vita had no conscience? Vita was furious and devastated. This was the first time in her life that she had been laughed at by so many people. She wanted to shout at the MC to stop laughing, but she was too angry to speak and could only glare at everyone mocking her. "Bitch, they're all bitches. Xaviera Evans, are you having an affair with the hotel manager? You're shameless, luring the manager into speaking for you." Vita couldn't understand why the manager would help Xaviera Evans, so she could only assume that Xaviera slept with the manager to get his help. The others didn't expect Vita's mind to be so dirty, and couldn't help but speak out, "Miss Coriel, the manager has Alria D.Y. said that he released the surveillance footage because his conscience wow LDNT allow him to watch your family bully a girl with no background or connections. Besides, it was your friend who said she wanted to release the surveillance, and the man Ager was just following her request. What does that have to do with Xaviera Evans?" The Coriel family's upbringing is really surprising. Instead of apologizing for their wrongdoing, they're trying to shift the blame and throw dirt on others. Their words made Mrs. Coriel's face change drastically, "Vita." Unfortunately, Vita had already lost her reason and couldn't hear her mother's warning. With her eyes red from anger, she stared at Xaviera Evans and shouted, "Xaviera Evans, tell me, did you sleep with the manager? You're such a bitch. Bitch. Vita." Mrs. Coriel gritted her teeth and slapped Vita's face, "Wake up. Are you foolish? Even if it's a joke, you should know your limits. Have you ever considered how your words might make Xaviera uncomfortable? Upon hearing Mrs. Coryell's words, Zaviera Evans chuckled. Was Mrs. Coryell seriously trying to pass off Vita Slanders as a joke? Where could there be such a good thing in this world? Mom, you hit me, you actually hit me because of that bitch, Zaviera Evans. Mrs. Coryell looked at Vita, who was tearfully breaking down, her hands clasping her chest in heartache. But she couldn't let Vita continue to act like a lunatic in the banquet hall, or else all her years of building a good image would be ruined. Vita apologized to Zaviera. It's gone too far, and the situation is beyond your expectations. You need to apologize for the harm you've caused her. Vita held her face, on the verge of collapse. She had been wronged so much, and they still expected her to apologize. Why? Mrs. Coryell swept her eyes across the crowd and adjusted her breathing. At this point, all she could do was make Vita apologize first. As for whether Zaviera would accept, she had plenty of ways to make her accept. As long as Zaviera accepted, others wouldn't gossip, and if the incident was seen as a joke between the two girls, Vita's reputation would remain intact. Otherwise. Unluckily, Vita couldn't understand her mother's actions, and she wiped her tears viciously. I will never apologize. I'll never apologize to her. Mom, why should I apologize when I've been wrong, Ed? Everything is Zaviera's fault. I framed her, and she should suffer quietly. Why should she fight back? What gives her the right to resist? Upon hearing Vita's irrational words, Mrs. Coryell almost ran out of breath. Was this really her daughter? How could she be so stupid? Unable to contain herself any longer, she glared and commanded again, "Apologize." No W. Chapter 95. Zaviera Evans is too ungrateful. Vita Coryell suddenly threw her phone on the ground and furiously charged at Zaviera Evans, "I won't apologize, even if I die. It's all your fault, everything is because of you. You can go to hell, oh since Miss Coryell doesn't want to apologize, then let's not apologize." Zaviera dodged to the side, her smile unchanged. "I don't quite agree with what Mrs. Coryell said about joking. When others joke, it's harmless fun, but when you, Coryell family, joke, you send people to jail. I can't afford to take that kind of joke." After speaking, she leaned in close to Mrs. Coryell's ear. "Mrs. Coryell, you must be wondering why the manager, who you had previously contacted, suddenly turned against you and produced the hidden surveillance footage, right?" Mrs. Coryell's breath hitched, she indeed couldn't figure it out. Zaviera whispered, "Though my faux hotel is under the Coryell family's name, who the real owner is?" "Mrs. Coryell, don't you know?" Mrs. Coryell's eyes widened in shock. Just now, the manager seemed to be acting under Zaviera's instructions. Could it be that this hotel had something to do with her? How is that possible? Zaviera raised her eyebrow. "Whether Mrs. Coryell believes me or not, it's the truth. Now that you've realized it, you should quickly take Miss Coryell away and stop annoying me. Of course, you can also enjoy your last moments of glory, as this hotel should soon be reclaimed, right? Your Coryell family, you're really foolish." Mrs. Coryell gasped in horror, her face turning pale as something dawned on her, "Let's go, Vita, hurry up and follow me." After saying that, she forcibly dragged Vita away, despite her struggle. With tears in her eyes, Vita shouted, "Xaviera Evans, you wait for me, just wait." As the mother and daughter of the Coryell family fled, the audience on the scene froze in shock for a while, before someone reacted, "Should we leave too?" Yes, after all this, the Coryell family's banquet won't go on. Let's go. We all came here for cooperation, but the Coryell family's way of dealing with people just makes my skin crawl. Collaborating with these kinds of people, one might get stabbed in the back out of nowhere, and after being stabbed, we'd still be blamed for bumping into the knife. Character is what they value most when looking for partners, and no one likes a two-faced partner like the Coryell family. The lively banquet quickly emptied out. The manager hurriedly approached, "Miss Xaviera," Xaviera stretched lazily, "what a pity. The main show hasn't even started, and these people are already leaving." The manager's mouth twitched, "Miss Xaviera, please be careful." Vita actually took out a real knife. I almost had a heart attack when I saw her pull it out. Thankfully, Vita just wanted to frame Xaviera and didn't directly stab her with the knife. Xaviera raised her eyebrow, "Why be scared? With Vita's weak abilities, how see old she hurt her? If she deliberately played along with the act, Vita couldn't even put the knife in her hand. But after making such a fuss, the crucial fact that the dress was fake still hadn't been revealed, and Xaviera felt a sense of incompleteness about the unfinished business. She shook her head and asked the manager, "Where's that bastard Caleb Mamet? Wasn't he just here? In the banquet hall?" Sir Coryell had already learned the whole process of the incident. His gaze was unwavering as he looked at Vita, "Take her home first." Boris Coryell wanted to plead, "Dad," publicly framing someone, with the surveillance footage clearly recorded, "do you think you can conceal this just because you want to cover it up?" Sir Coryell waved his hand, "While Xaviera doesn't take things further on her side, tack Evita home first, let her out for a while, wait until the storm blows over." It was a disguised form of house arrest. Even though Vita was unwilling, she didn't dare to argue with her grandfather and could only cry as she followed her mother home. Boris Coryell's face looked terrible. "Dad, I'm sorry about this. Unexpectedly, Xaviera is so ungrateful and troublesome at such a young age. It's normal for Vita to suffer a loss when meeting her. Ungrateful? Troublesome at a young age." Caleb Mamet pushed the door open and cast an icy glance at the Coryells in the room, exuding invisible pressure as he walked in with steady steps. Without waiting for an invitation, he walked over to the front seat and sat down, his eyes narrowing. "Mr. Coryell, tell me, what's ungrateful?" "That Xaviera should obediently be framed, bullied, and stepped on by you, then you'll be satisfied." Boris Coryell choked on his words, "Caleb." Chapter 96, just simply blocked Caleb. Mamet ignored him, directly focused on Sir Coryell. "Sir Coryell, it's not tea hat. I deliberately want to spoil the Coryell family's event. I just want to express my attitude. You should know, there are some things that I don't have to get from the Coryell family." "Caleb, What do you mean? If you do something wrong, you should apologize, right? Caleb tilted his head and showed a bloodthirsty smile. Don't forget, the person you bullied is Zaviera Evans, my acknowledged wife. Have you considered the consequences of offending the Mamet family? Clang. Sir Coryell suddenly stood up from the chair, his aged body trembling constantly. Why, I understand, Caleb. Don't worry, I'll make sure Vita apologizes to your wife. Boris Coryell disagreed. Dad, how can you? Caleb was just a junior in the family, so all these years, he treated Caleb like his own son-in-law, which made their conversations inevitably casual. He didn't think there was much difference between the power of the Mamet family and the Coryell family. Now that Vita had been wronged and their event had been ruined, why s howled they apologize? Shut up, www. Sir Coryell slammed his cane hard and then took a deep breath. Caleb, don't worry, I understand your request. I will definitely give you a satisfactory answer to this matter. Caleb didn't bother him further. He casually stood up. All right, as long as you understand. By the way, you can transfer the ownership of this hotel now, as a punishment for your Coryell family offending my wife. Sir Coryell felt dizzy in front of his eyes. When Caleb's figure walked away, he abruptly stood up. Go home. Even if we have to escort her, we need to get Sixta to apologize to Zaviera. After Caleb left, he found that the banquet hall was empty. Steve Price was puzzled. Where are our wives? Weren't they all here just now? Mr. Caleb Mamet had finally exerted his dominance for once, gaining back his wife's face. It was the right time to take credit in front of his wife, but she was nowhere to be found. He thought about it and felt that he shouldn't waste this opportunity, so he suggested, Mr. Caleb Mamet, you should call your wife. Although Caleb didn't have the intention of taking credit, he took out his cell phone and dialed Zaviera's number leisurely. Just as he promised her earlier, even without her intervention, he could handle the Coryell family. There was no need for her to go through all this trouble and be framed and mocked. However, as the call went through, a mechanical female voice came through. Hello, the number you dialed is currently in a call. Caleb frowned. In a call? Who was she talking to? He sent Zaviera a message, asking her to return a message after finishing the call, but he didn't hear anything from Zaviera even after he got back in the car. Staring silently at the phone for a while, he decided to try once more, but the line was still busy. From the hotel to the car, it had been about 20 minutes. How could one call last 20 minutes? With a man or a woman? Steve Price noticed that the atmosphere in the car was off, and he tentatively asked, Mr. Caleb Mamet, can't you get through to your wife's phone? Do you want me to help you find out who she's talking to? Caleb glanced up lightly, no need. Mr. Caleb Mamet, don't worry too much. Your wife probably has something important to deal with. But no matter how important things are, she can't completely ignore you. The advice came from Steve Price. In my opinion, you and your wife don't spend enough time together. People usually check each other's whereabouts when they are dating or getting married. However, there's no such behavior between you and your wife. It's like you are two independent entities that never intersect. If you say you are a couple, no one would believe it. Caleb was half believing, "Are you telling the truth?" Steve Price nodded heavily, "Of course. I've read countless emotional counseling articles and romantic novels. I can assure you, Mr. Caleb, women love domineering men. You must assert your ownership in front of your wife, let her know now that you are her man, and your strong shoulders are always waiting for her to lean on. Like this phone call incident, you should tell her, no matter what happens, I can help you deal with it. Don't look for others, and don't talk to others. On the phone for so long, understood?" Caleb, unbearable to look at. "What kind of PID man is that? Do women nowadays have such heavy tastes? However, upon hearing that the number you dialed is currently in a call on E again, Caleb couldn't help but think whether he should try what Steve Price said. If there were a third person in the car, that person might tell Caleb helplessly, no domineering CEO is needed, and there are no important matters to deal with. Zaviera isn't talking to anyone on the phone, she has simply blocked you." Chapter 97, Michelin Feast Zaviera. Evans didn't see Caleb Mamet in the banquet hall. She recalled what the manager had just told her about Caleb heading towards the Coryell family, and snorted coldly. She heard that the Coryell family had sent Vita Coryell back home and warned those who attended the banquet not to spread rumors. How dare Caleb, that dog, still want to cooperate and communicate with such a family? Thinking of Caleb's words in the car today, Zaviera angrily took out her phone and decisively blacklisted Caleb's number. Jerk. After blacklisting him, she curved her mouth to leave but suddenly smelled a tempting scent, like that of a steak, comma. It was so alluring. Seeing Zaviera not moving, the manager quickly understood, "Miss Zaviera, his is the world, class Wellington steak. If you're not in a hurry to leave, would you like to try it?" Embarrassingly swallowed her saliva. She wanted to eat it, very much so. The last time she tasted steak was 10 years ago. Since her taste buds stopped working, she hadn't tasted such deliciousness again. But if she wanted to taste the steak, she'd have to go to Caleb. Her face darkened at the thought. The manager persisted, "Miss Zaviera, if you want to taste it, let me go to the kitchen and order it for you." "No need for the trouble," Zaviera raised her hand to stop him. She had already blacklisted Caleb, so asking him for something now would be too embarrassing. Seeing Zaviera's determination, the manager didn't push further and respectfully escorted her to the door. Just then, a young man approached. He greeted the manager, who gave him a surprised look before introducing Zaviera, "Miss Zaviera, this is Mr. David Beckman, the disciple of the renowned international NAL chef Mr. Wesson. He has kindly offered to cook a meal for you free of charge." "Mr. Beckman seldom offers such opportunities, so don't miss it." She had heard of Mr. Wesson's fame, and surely David Beckman's culinary skills were not far behind. It sounded like a once, in a lifetime opportunity, but she had no sense of taste. No matter how delicious his cooking, she couldn't taste any of it. Zaviera wanted to cry but couldn't, and painfully refused the offer. It would be a waste of the chef's time and the delicious food to indulge her tasteless palate. David Beckman didn't expect her to refuse after he volunteered. He stubbornly insisted on cooking for her. Zaviera, relenting, followed him to the kitchen. Here he prepared a Michelin feast. Envious eyes turned towards her as David eagerly awaited her assessment. Zaviera, the manager, carefully observed her expression, tentatively suggesting, "Miss Zaviera, if you're not hungry now, you can take these dishes home." "I don't think a Mr. Beckman would mind." "Of course, it would be Michelin feast great if you could give him some feedback after trying them. It could be taken home." Zaviera couldn't refuse the temptation. She quickly packed up some dishes, took a deep breath, and called a cab home. In the car, she constantly berated herself for wanting to reconcile with that jerk Caleb just because of a few dishes. It was all too spineless. However, remembering the Michelin feast, she decided that herself, respect didn't matter. Once her sense of taste fully recovered, she would sever her ties with Caleb and never see him again. "Madam, you're back." The butler took her things. "Mr. Mamet hasn't returned from handling some work at the company yet. Would you like dinner first?" Zaviera replied with a grin, "No need, I'll wait for him." Knowing that Caleb was tied up at work, Zaviera felt relieved. Busy at work, he wouldn't have time to call her, which meant he wouldn't discover that she blacklisted him. Zaviera smirked, silently removing Caleb from the she, then pretended nothing happened, waiting for him to return from work on the couch. An hour ago, at the Mamet Corporation, Caleb called Zaviera again, and it was still showing as a call in progress. He frowned, "Who was Zaviera talking to on the phone? Was it really necessary to chat for so long?" No matter how many times he tried calling her, it was always busy. Caleb couldn't help but ask in a rage, "Why is it every time I call someone, they're always in the middle of another phone call? Do girls really talk for that long on the phone?" Chapter 98, Waiting for You to Come Home for a Meal Back. Company secretary. She nervously replied, "Perhaps it's the gossip between girls. Like when we talk with our friends, we tend to lose track of time." Caleb coldly said, "But even if you forget about time, there's no need for a 2-hour call, is there? Aren't you afraid of wearing your mouth out?" 2 hours. That is indeed a bit long." The secretary suddenly thought of a possibility and cautiously said, "Mr. Caleb Mamet, are you sure that the person was really on the phone? There's another possibility that person might have blocked you." "But, would anyone block Mr. Caleb Mamet?" Having said that, the secretary felt that her guess might be wrong. She wanted to add something but noticed that Caleb's face had turned livid. Secretary was unable to contain his anger. Good for Zaviera Evans, daring to block him. And Steve Price, that *PID man, said Zaviera was on a call with someone else, all misinformation. "Go, tell Steve Price that his bonus is cancelled this month." Secretary, pie, is this the legendary misplaced anger? Poor assistant. On the other hand, Zaviera waited for Caleb in the villa until 9 o'clock in the evening. Her stomach was growling with hunger, but that bastard Caleb was still not back. Unable to hold back, She confirmed with the housekeeper, "Housekeeper, are you sure Caleb is coming back today?" The housekeeper uncertainly replied, "When I called Mr. Mamet earlier, he said he would be back, but it's indeed late now. Mrs. Mamet, are you hungry? Shall I have the kitchen prepare something for you? Or deal with the things you be brought back?" Xaviera sighed, "No need, I'll wait for him to come if Caleb doesn't return, what's the point of eating?" She couldn't taste anything anyway. When it was 9:30, Xaviera couldn't help herself and took out her phone to call Caleb. Good, the call went through, meaning Caleb didn't block her. As time went on, she couldn't help but wonder if Caleb had found out that she blocked him. But the phone was able to connect now. If it were Caleb's character, he would probably block her in retaliation if he found out she blocked him. Soon, the call connected, and the faint sound of the man's breathing came through the phone. Xaviera asked stiffly, "Caleb?" Caleb's voice was cold, "Xaviera, it's almost 10 o'clock, you told the housekeeper you'd be back for dinner. Where are you? Why aren't you back yet?" Caleb snorted, "I didn't finish my work, I can't go back." Xaviera heard this and knew that Caleb, the bastard, was having a temper with her again. Does Mrs. Mamet need something? If not, I'll continue working. Wait. Xaviera took several deep breaths and waved at the housekeeper to move further away before gritting her teeth and calling Caleb, "Caleb." There was a slight pause in Caleb's breathing on the other end of the line. Xaviera's eyes lit up, as this trick seemed to work. She pressed on, "Caleb, when will you be home? I'm so hungry waiting for you." Caleb's fingertips curled slightly, and he lowered his voice, "Fine, I'll be back soon." "Xaviera, bastard. Weren't you just saying you had work to do?" 20 minutes later, when the door opened, Xaviera got up from the sofa and ran to Caleb to eagerly take off his coat. "Let me, let me." Caleb glanced at her, "Hungry?" Xaviera nodded vigorously, "Hungry, starving." "Heh," Caleb sneered, probably thinking that she was going to ask him for so meth and that's why she changed her attitude. The man leisurely went upstairs, "But I'm not hungry. Mrs. Mamet, if you're hungry, go ahead and eat. I'll take a shower upstairs." Obviously, he was being difficult. Xaviera was more certain that Caleb was in a bad mood. The original idea of forcefully kissing him gradually faded away. She'd better not provoke the tiger. "All right, you go take a shower, and we'll have a good talk after you're done." Caleb hesitated mid-step upstairs, and he looked back at her, "Does Mrs. Mamet need something from me?" This woman had a complete change of attitude compared to the daytime. Xaviera's expression stiffened. Although it could be considered asking, she wasn't the only one benefiting from kissing, he was too. 1402 Cancuerda waiting for you to come home for a meal. She showed a formulaic smile, "No, we're a married couple. Can't I just show some concern? Be careful in the shower, don't slip and fall." At a time like this, it didn't sound like concern. It seemed more like a curse. Caleb snorted internally, probably guessing that she wanted to use him to regain her sense of taste. Because only when she needed him would she be somewhat friendly to him. Chapter 99, If You Want to Kiss, Just Go Ahead. Thinking of this, Caleb didn't go upstairs but simply turned around and sat down on the sofa, stretching all his limbs. Do you care about me? Why don't you join me for a bath, Mrs. Mamet? That way, even if I fall, there's nothing to worry about. Zaviera. 11. This man must be daydreaming. Caleb didn't mind her silence and reached out to pick up a cigarette from the table. Before he could light it, Zaviera approached, "Let me light it for you." Caleb paused with the cigarette in hand, then tossed the lighter to Zaviera and said leisurely, "All right." Zaviera took the lighter, but she found a big problem as Caleb was leaning on the sofa with his long legs stretched out, taking up a lot of space. The cigarette was in his mouth, and he looked different and rather unapproachable. Zaviera's heart raced as she thought if she wanted to light the cigarette for him, she would have to get close to his chest. However, with his height and long legs, she had to lean forward to get close to his chest. This pose was such a balance test. Zaviera hesitated for a moment, wondering whether she should take back her offer. Wasn't it just lighting a cigarette? Why couldn't this man do it himself? But considering that she needed Caleb's cooperation for a kiss later, she gritted her teeth and thought, "It's just a cigarette, what's so difficult about it?" With that, she pressed down on the lighter, carefully shielding the flame and bringing it to Caleb. Then she aimed it at the tip of the cigarette. Throughout the process, her gaze was serious, as the lighter's flame glittered and burned sharply in her eyes. Even her slightly pursed lips, due to her nervousness, appeared very kissable. Caleb's Adam's apple rolled inconspicuously. Under Zaviera's careful guidance, the cigarette in Caleb's mouth was successfully lit. She exhaled in relief, "It's done." With a faint glance, Caleb said with a simper, "Mrs. Mamet is unusually accommodating today." Zaviera shifted her eyes, finding an excuse, "Isn't it because I want to thank you for taking me to the Coriel family's banquet today? Considering all the things you've done for me, and I've only lit a cigarette for you, it's not enough. How about I thank you with a kiss?" Caleb took a puff of the cigarette, and through the smoke, he looked at Xavier's hopeful eyes. This woman was really currying favor with him just to regain her sense of taste. Although he had suspected it, when the truth came out, he couldn't help but feel a little frustrated. Did she only see him as a tool to restore her sense of taste? If other men could also help her recover, would she treat them the same way? The more he thought about it, the more upset Caleb became, so he simply reclined on the sofa. "All right, I like this reward Mrs. Mamet has offered." Xavier's eyes brightened. "Really? You agree?" He nodded. Xavier's heart raced like a drum, and with her eyes closed, she leaned in for a kiss. She swore she would never badmouth Caleb in her mind again. This man was obviously quite easygoing and not stubborn at all. As Zaviera moved closer, the distance between them grew shorter until only a fist's length remained. With trembling eyes, she slowly opened her eyes, her long eyelashes fluttering, making one's heart itch to watch. Caleb spoke hoarsely, "Mrs. Mamet wants to kiss me." Zaviera was too excited to hear Caleb's words. All she could think was to quickly kiss him so as he could enjoy the Michelin feast. However, Just when her lips were about to touch Caleb's, he suddenly shifted back. Zaviera. Caleb looked away. I suddenly feel this is not right, maybe we shouldn't kiss. Or if you really want to kiss me, Mrs. Mamet, why not wait until we're back in the bedroom before continuing? Zaviera, she swore this man was doing it on purpose. Just go ahead, absolutely on purpose. He was just toying with her. From taking off her clothes to lighting the cigarette, she had done everything for him, and now Zaviera Poyut in frustration, you're playing with me. Seeing her childish side for the first time, Caleb found it quite amusing and tapped Pet on his knee, kiss me? It's not impossible. Zaviera glanced at him, trying to figure out what other ridiculous ideas this man might have to torment her. Leaning towards her ear, Caleb whispered, in a few days, accompany me to Tihi Mamet family. They've been wanting me to get married, and having a loving wife like you, you know what I mean. Zaviera understood, Caleb was asking her to go with him to the Mamet family, where they would pretend to be a loving couple in front of all the family members. They were going to act out a play. Chapter 100, Taking Action Against the Evans Family. Zaviera had long heard that the Mamet family had always been discordant, and many people were not convinced and secretly tried to trip up Caleb, a bastard who had become the head of the Mamet family. They urged Caleb to get married, probably hoping to take this opportunity to shove someone close to him, but they didn't expect it to be disrupted by her, an unexpected outsider. From this, it can be inferred that when she returned to the Mamet family with him, she would be met by many difficulties, not to mention on the fact that she would also have to play the part of a loving couple with Haim. Zaviera's eyes flickered as she weighed the pros and cons of the situation. Giving up a delicious meal would give her peace for a long time, but these were things she would have to face sooner or later. It was just a matter of facing them earlier, and she could even get an extra meal out of it, so it was a win-win. With that in mind, Zaviera grinned, what you just said is wrong, I am your wifey, so isn't it right for me to go back to the Mamet family with you to meet our parents? Caleb snorted with laughter. Taking advantage of his unpreparedness, Zaviera quickly planted a kiss on Hai's lips and then dashed to find the butler to arrange the food and bring all the tihings she had brought back. In no time at all, the gourmet dishes David Beckman had prepared were laid out on the dining table, and Zaviera couldn't wait to dig in with her knife and fork. It had to be said that David deserved his reputation as a world-class chef, his skills were extraordinary. She ate with gusto, while Caleb rolled his eyes at her foolish appearance. In between Zaviera's enjoyment of the food, he instructed the butler, keep a close eye on the Coriel family's recent movements. If the Coriel family were willing to come and apologize obediently, he could let bygones be bygones. But if they refused to apologize, they couldn't blame Haim for being heartless. The Coriel family. Vita Coriel was forcibly escorted home by her bodyguards, and before Mrs. C. Oriel had a chance to comfort her, Sir Coriel returned with a slap, stop crying and go to the Mamet family to apologize to Zaviera right now. When Vita realized what had happened, she broke down in tears, you hit me, Grandpa, are you also hitting me for that bitch Zaviera? I won't apologize, why should I apologize? You don't have a say in this matter. If you want to remain Miss Coriel, go to Tihi Mamat family and apologize to Zavira honestly. Sir Coryell coldly ordered, you must go to the Mamat family to apologize by tomorrow at the latest. The Coryell family cannot be destroyed because of you alone. With that, he ignored the sobbing Vita and walked away. Mrs. Coryell's tears fell like rain as she complained to Boris Coryell, what's going on with father? Hasn't this matter already passed? Why is he still pushing Vita to apologize to Zavira? Boris didn't understand Sir Coryell's actions either, frowning, let's do as Sir S.I.'s for now, and just casually give an insincere apology. After all, the Coryell family was still under the control of Sir Coryell, and he didn't dare openly oppose orders. His upon hearing that she still had to apologize, Vita threw a tantrum, crying hysterically, I won't apologize to Zavira. Zavira is a bitch and will eventually be abandoned by Caleb. I won't apologize to a bitch. How can I live with myself if this gets out? Mrs. Coryell chimed in, that's right, Arvita is of noble status, why should she apologize to a woman from the countryside? If she apologizes, how can the Coryell family have a face in Lebanon? Outsiders will definitely gossip about us. Boris, can you think of a solution? Boris squinted in thought, I have some connections with Derek Evans, and The Evans family has a project coming up that relies on our family. How about I go and talk to Derek and let him discipline his daughter? Right? This is a good idea, if Zavira dares to offend us, we'll make the Evans family's project suffer losses. I've heard that Derek doesn't even like his eldest daughter in the first place. So, if the project suffers a big loss because of Xaviera, he'll be furious. Mrs. Coryell enthusiastically thought Boris's suggestion was great. So what if Xaviera had married Caleb? She would always be Derek Evans's daughter, and in this world, it was perfectly normal for a father to discipline his daughter. Vita added, we need to make our stance clear, it's because of Xaviera that we're not cooperating with the Evans family. And we must spread the word that none of the companies on good terms with our Coryell family are allowed to cooperate with the Evans family. This way, Derek will hate Xaviera even more. Early the next morning, Xaviera suddenly received a phone call from Derek Evans, Xaviera, get your ass to the company now. The project we had talked about with the Coryell family has fallen through because of something you did, and many other partners have suddenly said they won't cooperate either. Do you know how much our Evans family has lost? Get over here now and apologize to Miss Coryell. Xaviera narrowed her eyes, what does your Evans family's problem have to do with me? Derek didn't expect her to dare to talk to him this way, but in order to get Xaviera over quickly, he said coldly, fine, if you don't recognize me as your father, what about your little uncle? If you're not at the company within half an hour, I'll kick him out of the house.